Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, we are in a very dangerous time today, where the United States' geopolitical influence is very clearly beginning to diminish. And as many would love to lay this at the feet of Donald Trump and his administration and his policies, they're no different than many presidents of the past. This is simply due to the collective war-focused efforts of all the presidents of the past decades from both sides of the aisle. And this is simply the world's response to its ongoing interventionist policies. And just as we saw after the U.S. unilaterally pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, the world is making a very clear statement that it does not agree with U.S. foreign policy, at least the way that it carries it out, and it will no longer be cowed by its militaristic power. And acting like the cornered animal that it's becoming, in lashing out in an attempt to maintain the little power that it has, it nonetheless handed down new sanctions even today on Iran. But we're seeing things like where India recently stood up and said that it will only recognize UN sanctions and no longer from the US, which really shows you this shift in political power. But as we see this continue to develop, we have to recognize that whether we're talking about the military-industrial complex or you know, any number of people that are profiting from this war-focused effort we've had for a very long time, they will do everything in their power to manipulate your perception, to either make them look like the bad guys or make it seem like there's some kind of a moral reason that we need to continue to invade other countries around the world. So we need to constantly be standing back and asking ourselves if what we're seeing, if what's being put in front of us is being used to elicit emotional responses from us, to lead us down one path, to progress a very specific agenda. That's something we need to be asking ourselves on a daily basis. And like anything else, there's no shortage of distraction stories being put out there to keep us from focusing on all the very important things going on, such as Starbucks and its sensitivity training that's just consumed the media. And I've never seen a better example of the divide and conquer moral outrage story of the day. And more importantly, which leads into the first article of the day coming from theantimedia.com, 5 things for America to ignore while arguing about Roseanne Barr. This is an excellent article by Carrie Wedler, and she always does a fantastic job of really highlighting these distraction stories and then showing you some of the most important things happening in general, but specifically while this distraction story is taking place. And these 5 examples are pretty amazing to see that these aren't being discussed while the media is focusing on Roseanne Barr. First, President Trump slapped a 25% tariff on goods coming into the country from China, a move that ultimately burdens working Americans. It covers $50 billion worth of goods. Not very America first. Number 2, the Department of Homeland Security has doubled down on its plans to monitor journalists, an example of threatening free speech that follows previous government efforts to keep tabs on the press and reports of that are critical of the state. DHS insists there is no reason to worry. Of course they do. Number 3, exponentially more people died in Puerto Rico as a result of Hurricane Maria than previously reported. The government's official death toll was 64. In truth, it's over 4,600, according to a survey published this week in the New England Journal of Medicine. That's more than 70 times the government's tally. The U.S. government's response to the natural disaster in the U.S. territory was wildly insufficient. Well, there's nothing new there, just even within the mainland of the United States. And people are still struggling now to recover from it and survive. Number 4, the Department of Justice approved Bayer's takeover of Monsanto, sealing the collaboration of two of the most corrupt corporatist companies in the world. And that's a very big deal. And that's something that is getting zero attention, of course. It goes against these antitrust laws. Department of Justice just doesn't care. Move forward because it benefits all of the elite. Number 5, the Trump administration is covering up civilian deaths in overseas wars even more than the Obama administration, which also tried to keep the numbers under wraps. This is of particular concern considering the number of bombs dropped by the U.S. military has skyrocketed under Trump, and that last week, the House of Representatives passed the 2019 National Defense Authorization Act, which the ACLU has warned will enable, quote, true global war without end, and allow the U.S. to, quote, declare war on a person and turn over power to declare war almost entirely over to the president and every future president, and grant further authority to any president to use the military to lock people up with no charge or trial. And the last one we've touched on quite a bit in recent weeks, talking about the War Powers Act and simply how this is where this is all leading under the guise of some kind of control mechanism, when in reality it does the exact opposite and basically writes into law everything they've already been doing that's basically illegal. So the fact that all five of those stories, and there's many others as well, but those five very important stories are getting completely overlooked by so many people because they're being distracted with Roseanne or look over here, sensitivity training with Starbucks. Oh my God, let's be morally outraged. These are exactly the kind of things taking place to keep your attention away from what's really going on. Great job, Carrie. That was a fantastic article, and I highly recommend you read these for yourself. The next one coming from endoftheamericandream.com, Israel warns that threshold of war will be crossed if Hamas doesn't stop firing rockets. Over the past 24 hours, Hamas and Islamic Jihad have fired approximately 70 rockets and mortars into Israel, and the IDF has responded by conducting at least 60 airstrikes in Gaza. Even as I read this, there are reports of fighting that has continued ever since. The United States has called for an emergency session of the Security Council, and outside parties are trying to negotiate an end to this violence. Meanwhile, hostilities between Israel and Syria are continuing to heat up as well. So this is really beginning to boil over here in this area, all stemming from Israel, essentially. We have to understand that these unprovoked attacks that have been going on in Gaza, on Syria, are simply being responded to now. So there's really no way to blame this, even as it does very clearly seem like this began with airstrikes coming from Islamic Jihad, that Hamas then kind of joined in and said they took responsibility for. Very clearly, we have to see that this stems from Israel's actions moving forward. And what's weird point to point out here is that last night I saw that Hamas essentially said that a ceasefire had been reached with Israel through Egyptian mediators. But then Israel denied that, which I found very weird. So they're saying that we found ceasefire, or we found a ceasefire agreement, and that Israel said, no, that's not true, keep firing. Like, whether that you're trying to make the point that maybe Hamas made that up and they were still firing, and that's why it's very weird that the statement would be made and Israel would deny that. I find that very interesting. But regardless of all of this, it's very clear that this is being presented now that, you know, that Hamas attacked Israel and they're responding, of course. Even when that's not the case, that's how it's framed. But we have to stand back and understand that all of this stems from the illegal actions of Israel, dating all the way back to the time when they essentially kicked Palestinians out of their own land, but much more so the ruling Zionist faction pulling the strings behind that. And that, or rather, just that's what it is. And we have to begin to recognize that. There's an excellent video by Really Graceful breaking down Zionism, really unmasking it in 10 minutes that I'll include, that really begins to show you not only the history, but what it's really all about and how it's really leading the charge in a lot of different things, including U.S. foreign policy. But if we can ignore that very clear aspect of Israel's illegal actions in regard to Palestine and just chalk it up to, you know, whatever, whether it's a religious aspect or whatever, you're not allowing yourself to see the full picture. And we have to include it all in that. So now when we see this case where Hamas is essentially launching at Israel, it is essentially what kicked this off. It's very clear that it stems from Israel to begin with. And we have to really open our eyes to that fact. Moving on to the next story coming from the RonPaulInstitute.org, U.S. commander in Europe, we need more troops to fight the Russians. This is an excellent video where they break down something that we've touched on a few times already, the idea that the U.S. is continuing to stoke this flame with Russia and use them as an excuse to build the military that's already bigger than the next eight combined, and they already spend more than the rest of the world combined on their military, and somehow we need to spend more to fight Russia. It's a very interesting dynamic that's playing out here, and Daniel McAdams and Ron Paul do a really great job of breaking down the absurdity of it all. And really, as we see these attempts to stoke the proxy war in Syria continue to fail, whether you're talking about the recent false flag failed attempt or whatever, it's very clear that people are beginning to not be as enthusiastic about continuing to ruin another country through U.S. foreign policy. So now they're even openly saying, well, we need to pull some money and people from the counterterrorism and, you know, really their efforts to pretend to fight ISIS in Syria and move that over to fight Russia, which is frustrating when you know that they've continued to force the idea that ISIS is this end-all, be-all threat to the world and our democracy. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, no, forget that. Let's look at Russia. I mean, it's very clear that they're trying to keep this going, however they can maintain the military spending. That's what has to be very clear to us. And what should be more alarming than any of that, which they point out in this video, is that Russia last year cut 20% of its military spending. And they're still claiming that they're, you know, beefing up there, so they have to match it. That's kind of the lie that's going forward. And Putin has even said that he's going to continue to do that for the next year and pull money from the military. He even said, quote, to improve the standard of living and social care. And the money has to come from somewhere, so I'm pulling it out of the military. And this is what they're claiming to need to fight against. I mean, you could claim that it's all propaganda and lies and they're doing it anyway, but it's very clear that they're not when you can just look at the actual, the physical proof of it all. Talking about even when we just recently talked about the building up of their aircraft carriers and their fleets in that area. The reality is that Russia is not even close to what the United States is doing, and yet we're already spending more money on our fleets to match a phantom threat from Russia. It's very frustrating to see. So this is the kind of propaganda I'm talking about. We need to begin to stand back and question what we're being fed, and if it's using, you know, trying to elicit an emotional response in us to maintain what they're trying to continue. And that's something that needs to stand out in every regard today. Moving on to the next story coming from strategicculture.org, U.S. Congress set to fund new low-yield nuclear warheads. On May 23rd, the U.S. House of Representatives turned down a measure that would limit the fiscal 2019 funding for the new low-yield or flexible nuclear warheads. The ordinance is to be installed on Trident II submarine-launched ballistic missiles. The nuclear weapon is to be developed in accordance with the provisions of the Nuclear Posture Review, which is something we've also touched on, which basically opened the idea of limited nuclear strikes and allowing this more ambiguous idea of how to use nuclear weapons in modern warfare, which is very, very alarming. And not only did it open it up for the United States, but it opened the door for everybody else to do the same, which is very alarming. Before the vote, 32 former top security officials opposed the idea of low-yield nuclear warheads in a letter sent to members of Congress. The appeal failed to influence the outcome of the vote in the House. With the funding approved, these new nukes will be in service during the current presidential term, which I'm sure scares a lot of people. The proponents, including General John Hyten, if you say his name, the head of the U.S. Strategic Command, believes that incorporating more usable submarine-launched warheads into a defense posture would deter Russia from using low-yield nukes, decreasing the likelihood of nuclear war, which is kind of a ridiculous claim, but I'll get into that in a second. Now, an important point that gets made here is that there is no way to know a missile shot is a low-yield weapon or eight powerful thermonuclear warheads launched as a part of a war foray. Instead of de-escalation, the low-yield concept will essentially trigger a nuclear exchange. There's no way to know the difference, is the point they're making there. And that's an alarming concept, which just because you think you're launching a low-yield nuke, that the other person has no idea whether it's a full-throttle nuclear war. And it's just ridiculous to think that's somehow going to diminish the threat. It's crazy. Russia and the U.S. have concluded 9 major arms control agreements during the recent 50 years. This new step is destabilizing enough to make all of it, all the long-standing efforts, essentially go down the drain. This is the direct result, in my opinion, of the type of singular-minded administration that currently occupies the White House, constantly focused on war efforts, and this is what we're seeing take place. The bill is going to the Senate this month. This is the last hurdle, essentially. Over 20 NGOs have sent a letter to the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, which contains arguments against this new weapon. Hopefully the issue will be given serious consideration and cooler heads will carry the day, but that very rarely tends to be the case when essentially everything today is controlled by the military-industrial complex. The more that this becomes okay, the more that we're going to see it happen everywhere, and as somebody like Russia, who's seemingly stepping down their military efforts, will only then decide to go further the other direction when it seems that the U.S. is stepping up its efforts to essentially allow themselves to use low-yield nukes in modern warfare. very, very alarming prospect here. Something we have to keep an eye on, and something that we should be actively speaking out about, writing your politicians and saying, this is ridiculous. I don't agree with this. And I know I don't usually advocate for that, but this is something that is a very dangerous step forward that we need to try to stop. Moving on to the next story, coming from moonofalabama.org, propaganda killing kills propaganda. First, the Skripals. Now, Arkady Babchenko come back from the dead. This is a very interesting, convoluted, and cloak and dagger type story, at least how it's being presented in some regard in the media today. But basically, this is the story of this gentleman, Babchenko, who was essentially working with the Ukrainian government, as they claim, and staged his own death in order to suss out an actual attempt on his life by the Russian government. That's the official claim. But this Moon of Alabama article makes it very clear that what it seems like anyway is that this was another staged false flag psyop in order to frame Russia that blew up in their face and nobody was buying, mostly due to their screwing it up and misrepresenting the facts and having 10 different stories and nobody was buying it. So they held a press conference where he came out and said, oh, look, I'm still alive. It was all a big ploy to show you that Russia's guilty and that we found the guy. And it stunk to high heaven. For the first story I read, I was like, there's something not right here. And clearly something happened where they decided to kind of follow it up where they revealed that it was a big ploy. But we have to understand here that the media, the officials involved, they all lied about this. And even funnier, we saw all of the Western media come out and say, oh, Russia's guilty. Here's another journalist killed by Russia. Even the German media, we saw them post things, then delete them when they realized that he wasn't really dead, showing you that they're willing to go forward with anything to demonize Russia. Facts and due diligence aside, they just don't care. They go, oh, look, it's Russia, get him, right? They jump on the story. So it's very clear here that there was some kind of manipulation taking place. Whether you buy their story that this was some kind of a ploy, it shows you that they were willing to lie to the public and even use the police and the officials involved to progress a false story through their media to then what they claim is suss out Russia. But now we're seeing that in the background, it seems like they tried to carry out a false flag and it turns out that it blew up in their face. So they rushed around and said, oh, look, he's still alive. It was all a big game. It's very, very fishy. And it's a story that we're going to have to keep following here. But I think it's pretty damn clear that something wrong happened here. And it just shows you how easy it is for them to manipulate the public for whatever reason they claim. Moving on to the next story and the final story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, Harvey Weinstein indicted on rape, criminal sexual act charges. Harvey Weinstein was just officially indicted by a grand jury on charges of rape in the first and third degrees and criminal sexual act in the first degree. Commenting on the indictment, Manhattan DA Cyrus Vance said, quote, this indictment brings the defendant another step closer to accountability for the crimes of violence with which he is now charged. Our office will try this case not in the press, but in the courtroom where it belongs. Which the article points out is ironic because this is not the first time that Cyrus Vance could have prosecuted Weinstein. In fact, as the New Yorker first reported in last October, the New York DA previously had hard evidence of the Hollywood mogul's crimes. However, back then, the Manhattan District Attorney ultimately decided not to press charges, a move which many speculated was the result of Weinstein's political connections and/or a large sum of money changing hands behind the scenes. Quote, we had the evidence, a source told the New Yorker, and yet Vance did nothing for obvious reasons. Now, this is clearly a very positive case to see him actually get in trouble. But there's a lot around this story that we can't let this distract us from. We shouldn't allow this story to do what it's likely designed to do, which is allow us to feel that action is being taken and the truth is coming out. So we relax. We let up. When in reality, this should only be the beginning. This should invigorate us to push even harder to expose the seedy underbelly of Hollywood and political elites. This is no doubt a great step, one in the right direction, absolutely. But there is far worse taking place on a regular basis that is actively covered up and hidden from public view at the behest of and even at the hands of our very own politicians, and especially at the hands of those above them pulling all the strings. And that is why we must dig even deeper and not allow one villain thrown under the bus to distract us, to allow us to become complacent. An action like this sacrificing one of their own shows that they're scared, that we are getting closer. And the more the truth comes out and the more you share it, the harder it will be for them to continue to hide in the shadows. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.